Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Talking about your favorite teams as you kick off your day. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, and Kevin Ingram.
The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, alongside him, Kevin Ingram, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Quick correction from the update, men's quarterfinals at Wimbledon. Novak Djokovic up a set early against Goffin. Going to visit with Jason Stark in just a moment. Let's give away some tickets before we do. We're going to have 104.5 The Zone night at the Braves Nationals game July 20th at SunTrust Park down in Atlanta. And you can win tickets right now, 615-737-ZONE, 615-737-ZONE. Hook you up with a pair of seats. Great ballpark. Braves and Nationals on the 20th, 104.5 The Zone night. We want to send you down there. A couple seats for you, 615-737-ZONE. From the MLB Network and The Athletic, Jason Stark joins us for one of our favorite spots of every week. Jason, what's going on this morning?
Hey, what's happening, man? How are you?
We're good, I assume, in the airport. We're getting ready to depart Cleveland for another baseball locale.
Yeah, I am. Just staggering along on a few hours of sleep like I always do the day after all-star game. It's all good.
How interesting, Jason, was the contrast between Monday night with homer after homer, and then last night was strikeout after strikeout, and really a pitching-dominated All-Star game?
I kind of missed the juice ball. I don't know about you. You know, it's really interesting to see how the two events have evolved. I think this has been pretty typical now in the last few years. It's just a purely spectator enterprise. I feel like the Home Run Derby has become the more memorable event in a lot of ways. You know, pitching in the major leagues right now, when you get the best of the best on one field, so overpowering that, like 16 strikeouts, like, you know, we had from the Wade team last night, that is pretty standard. Roll nine guys doing 97 out there. And it's what you get. Even the best hitters on earth have a hard time putting the bat in the ball. And it, you know, just, those two nights kind of summed up where the game is.
How interesting, to cap it off, the American League had Aroldis Chapman out there to strike out the side in the ninth. How interesting is it to watch him pitch these days? You know, I remember back, you know, when he was with the Reds, he threw 100 almost every pitch. He had triple digits once or twice last night. But to throw a lot more sliders and throw them for strikes, I thought was really interesting to watch him make his way through that ninth inning.
Yeah, he has evolved. And, you know, I remember talking to Devin Mesoraco about him right after he came up. He told me, look at his numbers. Look at the numbers against his slider. And even his changeup, which is very rarely throws. Nobody ever hits those pitches. But we can throw 103 every pitch. Why would you ever throw him? But he's at the stage of his career now where he has to throw him. And he's really, when you take a step back and look at his career, it's amazing. Like, the guys who throw 102, 103, 104, 105, what happens to every one of them? They all get hurt. Like, they're all going to see their friendly neighborhood Tommy John surgeon, but not Aroldis Chapman. He just keeps doing it. And you know why? He's the best athlete on the field, and nobody even knows it. You could line him up and race everybody in the field. He wins. He's built like a tight end. And, you know, he's just this little one-inning radar gun phenomenon to most people, but he's really a lot more than that.
Yeah, he has terrific stuff. Jason Stark is our guest from The Athletic and the MLB Network, talking about last night's All-Star game.
Yeah, Jason, I guess to talk about the All-Star game, do you think they can make any adjustments to the rules, maybe just to make it a little more exciting when it's one of those kind of pitching duels, maybe no shifts, you get to return into the lineup or things of that nature, nothing major, but just little tweaks here and there.
Yeah, okay, so you feel like if they had a no-shift rule, that wouldn't be any any nigger. You know, at once upon a time, you would have said that. Not 2019. I'm actually with you. Look at the other sports all-star games, and they're offense dominating. Mm-hmm. That's really kind of what people want to see. In baseball, that's a lot harder to accomplish. The pitching's too good. The pitchers throw too hard. The stuff is just too good. And this is not, to me, just an all-star game problem. This is a big-picture problem for the sport. Nobody can figure out how to counteract all the velocity that you see across baseball, top to bottom now, when everybody throws 95 to 102. And the All-Star game is just a prime example of it, isn't it?
Yes. Are you still there?
I am.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know, Justin Verlander made some comments about having juice balls, and I don't know. Do you think the balls have been, I guess, yeah, balls, by the way, have been juiced? Do you think they have, changed the way they made the baseballs to help their flight trajectory, I guess?
Well, I have written a lot about this and talked a lot about this. Talked to Justin after he pitched last night, and there's no doubt that the ball is different. I am not in that school of people who say Rob Manfred woke up one day and said, all right, time to juice the ball. I don't think that's what happened. I think this is, the manufacturing process of these baseballs is not what people think it is. It's a lot different than the manufacture of the balls in any other sport because it's totally, everything in it is a natural material, and the balls are stitched together by hand. And they really had a hard time figuring out exactly what's going on. I know players have some very entertaining conspiracy theories. I don't blame them to see what's going on in the sport right now. Like, you're going to have 1,000 more home runs than last year, the most home runs ever hit. But I really think that baseball needs to examine exactly what is going on in the manufacturing of these baseballs that is causing this to happen. Rob Manfred spent a lot of time with a bunch of us yesterday, and I honestly believe that when he says they're as puzzled as we are.
We're speaking to Jason Stark, of course, of The Athletic and MLB Network. And Jason, all of a sudden it's on in the National League Central. Everybody's in it. Another hot streak by the Reds and Pirates, yeah. And they could find themselves at the top. But how do you handicap things heading in to the second half of the season?
It's fascinating, right? This is the closest any division has been in the history of the National League, top to bottom, at the All-Star break. And, I don't feel a whole lot different about the division than I did couple of months ago, but it's so much fun to say, hey, if it started May 1st, the Brewers would be in first place. If the season started May 15th, the Reds would be in first place. If the season started June 1st, the Cardinals would be in first place. And the season started in April, but it just tells you that I think the team that makes the best deal, the team that stays the healthiest, is the team that's going to win. And so I would look at the ability of these teams to make the big deal. As I look at them, I feel like the Cubs and the Brewers are the most motivated. They're in the biggest win-now window. So I still think it's those two teams that emerge, but you can tell me the Pirates are going to win, the Reds are going to win. Nothing would shock me.
What about in the East, where all of a sudden the Nats have turned it around? You know, the Phillies have had some injuries, a suspension, and they've fallen out. But which team do you think has the better chance of making a race of it with the Braves?
Well, I think the Braves are the best team. The Braves are going to win the division. But the Nationals are trying to do something that's very rare. They were 12 games under 500 6 weeks ago. And since then, they've got the best record in sport. Max Scherzer put them on his back. Their bullpen has stabilized. Trey Turner's back. He's a weapon. That's a really dangerous team. Now, keep thinking, like, the story of the Nationals, since Bryce Harper Strasburg arrived has been have these great seasons that end badly. But they haven't have a season that starts badly and ends great. It wouldn't shock me with a down on that.
What about in the AL Central? And I think we should have learned by now. You shouldn't go to sleep on a Terry Francona team. You know, the Indians are 5.5 behind. Are they going to be buyers or sellers? Because they're talking both as we approach the trade deadline.
I think that's a good description of them. I think they're both. I think like their template is look at last July. Look at the Rays on the way to winning 90 games. What did they do? They traded away Chris Archer, made a great deal, and still contended when it was all over. It is possible to buy and sell at the same time. And I think if you put the Indians front office in a room, Jacob of a truth serum, said, hey, this will never get out. Is your team good enough to win? They would say, we're not going to win the World Series as we're built right now. We've got to reposition ourselves for the future. So I think you are going to see them shop Trevor Bauer, try to make a deal similar to what Tampa Bay did with Archer. Get at least one starting pitcher back who can plug into the rotation right now and see if they can win and sell at the same time. It's hard to thread that deal.
Jason, always terrific. Safe travels. Hope it doesn't take you 31 hours to get back home like it did to Cleveland.
You guys don't even want to know.
Oh,
that,
man.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Okay, see you later. From the Athletic and the MLB Network, Jason Stark, the Hall of Famer. He's the best.
31 hours.
Apparently, it took him 31 hours to get from Philly to Cleveland to be at the All-Star game.
Lovely.
It's like, I got there for the first pitch. That's what matters.
Oh, gosh.